Church. It is a pleasure. Every time I get up here, I'm like, you know what? This is a beautiful church. And so take that in, all of you. This morning, we are on the second part of our Faith and Works series. And today's calling is that we are called to create. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the very, very first chapter of our Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. That is where the bulk of our text will be. Are we there?
Yes.
Yeah, take your time. Easy to find. So our text, we're looking at verses 26 to 28. We're going to look at 26 and 27 first. But our text meets us on day 6 of God's creation process, right? He's creating the universe, the Spirit of God, who is hovering over all this dark void, this dark formless void. And I imagine as he's hovering, right, before he does everything, I imagine he's thinking. He has these thoughts, these ideas, these designs, calculations, measurements, every intricate detail in the mind of God, hovering over the darkness, over this canvas. And then from his voice comes everything. Comes day and night, heaven, earth, the seas. In the expanse of the heavens, there is light, there is vegetation on the earth, and every living creature, he comes, he brings forth from his voice. And then we have the verse. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I don't know about you, but it brings me so much joy coming to this verse, to see just how many times it is stressed that we are created beings. Because it's not just stressed in this first chapter, it is stressed throughout the scriptures. We are made, we are created, we are crafted, knitted in our mother's womb. Because the implications of being created means that we are intended. The implications of being created means that we are intended. Not just an accident waiting to happen in a void of darkness, but an idea. Yeah, you and I did not come into our existence at birth or our conception, but first in the mind of God as a thought. So your existence is intentional. And everything about you is on purpose, worthy to be treated with respect and dignity as God's image bearer. Now, because we are also made in his likeness, his image and his likeness, we inherit his creativity. We cannot run away from it. It is very much who God is. It's the first thing we see in scriptures about who God is. He's a creative God. And so if we believe that we are made in the image of God, we must also believe that we all possess some measure of creativity. And maybe some of you in the room see the word creativity and kind of disengage, because there's this idea that creativity is reserved for a portion of people who may call themselves poets and musicians, spoken word artists, photographers, filmmakers. Maybe they are overly enthusiastic, deep individuals with what looks like weed tattoos and nose piercings. Guys, I just want to clarify. This is my last chance to clarify. These are not weed tattoos, okay? They're ornamental ferns. But I beg to differ. Creativity is very, very, very much associated with the arts, but the arts is not the only place where human beings use their creativity. Let's look at some definitions. As defined by the Cambridge Dictionary, Creativity is the ability to produce original and unusual ideas or to make something new or imaginative. Now with this definition, words that come to mind are like innovating, creating, problem solving, what else? Inventing, analyzing, calculating. All of these come encompassed in creativity. I'm going to give you a quick insight into how our brains work. I did some research and I was like, oh my gosh, this is too much for me. Like neurons, blah, 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 blah. Let me just try and simplify it. This is how I understand it. So our brains work in this incredible interconnected network, right? With different regions that interact so uniquely in each person. There are some regions that do like deliberate, logical, controlled thinking. And there's some regions that are more spontaneous, abstract, and imaginative. But it all comes under the umbrella of creativity. So, whether you are gifted in numbers, colors, logic, poetry, big pictures, or little details, all of us are gifted with strengths that reflect God's creativity. But our call to create isn't the end to itself. We aren't created just to be creative. There's a purpose. And a professor in molecular and cellular pharmacology, his name is John Parrington. He's a professor at the University of Oxford. He says this: no other species on the planet, and that includes our closest biological cousins, the apes, has shown the capacity to transform the world in the way that human beings do. This transforming ability that humans have, that we can see everywhere. You don't have dogs like making skyscrapers. We don't have chimpanzees governing nations. And all this gives us an idea to the purpose of our creativity. Our ability to transform the world so effectively is a result of God's command to Adam in verse 28. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. These words, subdue and rule, can be defined as to conquer, to bring into subjection, to control, and rule can be defined as to exercise ultimate authority over. To me, those words conjure up a sense of dictatorship, like a totalitarianism where human beings are superior and have an iron fist authority over all of creation. And the worldview that is commonly held nowadays is that this is a problem. This is the reason we have so many issues in the world, because human beings are in authority. But God helps us understand what the heart of this command, this authority given to us is. And that comes in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Work it and keep it. These Hebrew translations, work it is abad, and keep it, shamar. And what they are describing is, abad is to work, to serve. And in reference to a garden, it is to till or cultivate, to dress, adorn, embellish, improve. And shamar means to exercise great authority, no, great care over, to watch over, to guard, to protect. That is what God intended when he gave us the command to subdue and rule, because he gave it to us before the fall, before our hearts were compromised with sin, when our hearts were pure and our intentions were pure. So these God-given strengths, our creativity, our capacity to create, are just tools, really. given to us to tend to this garden, to tend to his creation. And he has created each of us with this in mind, that we would all play a part in cultivating, in co-laboring with him to cultivate his garden. So, with that in mind, whatever garden God has put you in, whatever your workplace looks like, there is a call to steward your creativity, to cultivate it, to bring forth fruit and bring him glory. And sometimes it can be grand and inspiring. It could look like a beautiful painting, or it could look like innovating this great new software that helps thousands of people. But in reality, every day, our day-to-day lives are full of small moments that require us to have new ideas and to come up with unexpected solutions. Here are some examples. First one, parents. You are constantly discovering new ways to support and lead entirely new people as they grow, as they learn about the world around them. And that takes creativity. That takes so much of mental working out and thinking about, oh, this person is unique. I need to tend to them uniquely. Analysts, accountants, bankers, your inventiveness in analyzing, in interpreting data, evaluating data, presenting statistics, man, my mind does not work like that. And it is so cool. It's amazing how your brains work, how your brains put together these things. And business owners, your capacity for ideation and management in an ever-changing workspace is commendable. And all of these, I haven't mentioned every job in this room, but that's okay. The thing is that your giftings are great blessings, whatever they are. They are great blessings to the people around you, and they add so much value to other people's lives and the way that we progress, the way that we move throughout the world, the way that we move throughout everyday life. They help make life better, run a bit smoother, and just make it more enjoyable. And as we heard from Benisi last week, our service to others is a mask behind which God loves and blesses his people. And so in honoring of that work that we have been given to do, it is a delightful thing to him. So I want you to remember that. Whatever it is that you do on a daily basis, you bless those around you. You bless this system we are working in. And you are a delight to God. But the reality of work is that it is also hard. The fallenness of this world is evident in how destructively humans have impacted the environment and all of humanity. We see it in the news every day. That's why I deleted all my news apps. How relentless and stressful our workplaces can be. How much tension they give us. And how we respond to situations with hearts marred by sin. And that is the reality. And we will look more at this next week. But how awful would it be if that was the end? If that was it? If that was the reality? If all it was this fallenness, destruction, and all we have to do is just get on through until, I don't know, the end. But the joy is that God came down in the image that we are crafted from to live amidst all the fallenness, to work with his hands as a carpenter, continuing on in his creative work. He hasn't stopped. And he will not stop. He's still going. Until the same hands were pierced to redeem us from death and all of its pangs. His name is Jesus. And when he died, was buried, and resurrected from the grave, he from the grave, he gave us this hope. He gave us the opportunity to receive from him the fullness of life. Because his atonement at the cross meant that on his ascension, the Father was then able to tag team and send down the Spirit. Yeah? And the Spirit is called to dwell with us and within us. The very same Spirit that was hovering over the void of darkness is the same Spirit that lives within each and every one of us and continues to work with us in this creative mission. Same Spirit who is called our helper, who was sent to renew our minds and give us a heavenly perspective. One of the pastors from Jesus Image says it this way: the reception of the Spirit numbs us to the world and awakens us to God. Not that we don't know what's going on in the world, not that we are, not that we are blind to the fallenness and destruction, but it numbs us to what the world looks like because we are awakened to God's reality. We are awakened to the fact that God has better plans. So we see something that is broken and painful and full of grief, and we can receive from him what he wants that to look like, what that's meant to look like. And that gives us hope. That gives us a perspective of, okay, so what do we do about it? So what do we do about it? We know that Christ came down. And to be in Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. This is a picture of what God meant when he said, partner with me in bringing my kingdom to earth. This message of reconciliation he has given to us. And by his Spirit, we get to do that very thing. Okay, God, I see this darkness. What do we do about it? What do we do about it? How can I bring what I know of you and your kingdom and your reality? How can I do that and bring it in to what looks so hopeless? A ministry of reconciliation. That is what we are part of. And as a church, One Tribe's focus this year is gospel-centered. Gospel-centered. Every aspect of our lives centered on Jesus. To increasingly allow the implications of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection to change our hearts and renew our minds. And we must allow this to change the way that we view and use our creativity, to partner with God in bringing his kingdom to earth. So here are some thoughts and ideas that we can think about individually, because I can't speak to you on a blanket statement because we are all so different. So here are some ideas, whether you're very far up in your career, whether God's told you, yeah, this is it, and you're there, or whether you are still a student and you don't know what God wants to do with you. You don't know what your gifts are, maybe. You don't know where your strengths are. First question, identify the unique grace upon you. What are your strengths? What do you have passion for? What do you have energy for? And this is easy to say, but so hard to do. Sometimes it's easy to know what we have the strength for, what we have the passion for. But sometimes it's not, and we're lost in this, like, oh, I don't know what I'm meant to do. I would recommend getting other people to share what they see in you. Let me give you an example. When Bo asked me to preach this Sunday, I was like, what? I just do the singing thing. I don't do this. And so I was like, can I pray about it? And I walked away. And as I walked away and I went away and I was like, why does he want me to speak? A picture came to mind, a reminder, a memory actually. And this was when I was in Samburu doing some discipleship work there. And it was the first day of rain, like first day of full rain. And then when the rain stopped, the sunset was beautiful. So I was like taking a video for my friends back home, just talking about what God had put on my heart about the rain falling and this already it looks greener and the sunset is beautiful. And I was just talking about like, oh, this is what, you know, this is great. God is great. And then two of my friends, Susie and Larissa, they were like, Becca, can you write that down? Like maybe make a, like, I don't know, just play around, write a preach. And I was like, oh, okay, let me do that. So I just wrote it down, not very extensively. I just wrote down the ideas. But what they did there was they identified a grace in me. Something that I didn't see, I didn't believe, and I didn't think about. And so that thought that hadn't come to me in ages came to me when Bo asked me to speak. So I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to go with it then. I'm going to have to. Because God is telling me to. He wouldn't have brought that picture otherwise. The second one is to embrace these gifts. And when I think of embracing a gift, I think of when we know a gift and we are intimidated by it and we are scared of it. I think of Moses when he was called to lead his people out of Israel, something that looked so big, but God himself identified the grace on him because he gave it to him. God himself told him, this is what I have called you to do. Go do it. And he was like, nope. Find someone else to do that. Because he was scared. He was fearful. He did not believe, even though God, who gave him the grace to do it, spoke to him and told him, he did not believe. He did not embrace. A lot of embracing is allowing God's gifts to be used as tools. As tools. When we start seeing our gifts not as a thing that comes from us, but a thing that is given to us, we go back to the garden. God gives you a spade. All you have to do is use it. It's the same with our gifts, even though they come from within us. How we do this is important. How we embrace it, how we take hold of it and use it with confidence is important. Third one is seek to collaborate. We were designed to collaborate with each other because while we are made in the image of God and inherited his creativity, we also inherited the collaboration of the triune God, the ultimate collaboration, Father, Son, and Spirit. This is who we are made after. We are made to work with each other, to be connected and support each other in this. And God's multifaceted creativity, he did not pour it all into each and every one of us. He broke it up and distributed it. You can have this, you can have this, you can have this, so that we can come together, so that we do not have to be gifted in everything. You do not have to be good at everything. And this lie that we have to work on our weaknesses. Work on your strengths. Work on your strengths because that's what God has given you. Sure, sometimes we have to work in things that we don't do very well at. But there is a joy in running in your lane, running in the thing that God has given you to do. And the joy about that is you do your strength well. And then when you don't do something else so well, someone else is doing it well. So you can go, I know that you are very good at this. Can you help me? And we collaborate. We work together. Because we are a body and each member is allocated its strength. And together we make up this mosaic of creativity that does a much better job at getting things done and reflects a better picture of God's creativity. Fourth is surrender your creativity to the Holy Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, then let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is a call daily to surrender, to give it, to go, okay, I know that these are my giftings. What are we doing today? What are we doing with it today? Because it is by Him that our minds are renewed in righteousness and holiness, and it is through him that things of God are revealed to us. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to take the lead, when we give him the reins, then we get this impartation of wisdom into every, and we use, and we receive impartation of wisdom in everything we think about, every idea, every decision we make. And it is in this surrendering to the Holy Spirit that we allow God to use us to work. That we don't put our own ideas first, but we allow God to shift and change and direct us. Think about it as a divine mentorship. And it is one that you do not have to make an appointment for. It is one that comes free of cost, and it is one that is available daily. He is the best mentor for your strengths in your place of work. All this to say that the way we perceive the world changes everything. And as believers, there is a transformative power that comes when we embrace our creative giftings and work with a heavenly perspective. The transformative power that John Parrington was talking about comes most beautifully when we allow God to use what we have been given with this freedom that we have in Christ and this vision of heaven that he has gifted to us. Not one that looks around and sees hopelessness, but one that holds the hope of eternity and the new creation that is to come. So with the capacity to imagine the fullness of God, the fullness of life that God has created for us, we don't sit idly and wait for God to intervene. James chapter 2, verse 22 says, faith was active along with his works, and faith is completed by his works. The faith that we have in Christ, in God, the faith that we have in this hope that is to come is qualified by our works. Because we have faith, we work. Because we know God, we work. Because we have hope, we work. Because we have hope, we work. And we work with him. It's a joy we get to work every day with him in faith to bring creative solutions to the world as he intended us since the beginning. And this is what we need. We need creative solutions. We need creative kingdom solutions. It's what Nairobi needs. It's what Kenya needs. It's what Africa needs as a continent. And it's what the entire globe needs. Creative solutions to difficult problems. And through all of this, we can stand firm in whatever place we have been set as lights in the dark, and as carriers of the Spirit of God, to bring not just the hope of sustainability, but of restoration, a step further than what the world can see, because we know of a hope of full restoration. I'm going to end with a quote from Tim Keller in his book, Every Good Endeavor. And I think it just summarizes everything so beautifully. But as I do this, does the worship team want to come up and get ready? His world is not hostile that it needs to be beaten down like an enemy. Rather, its potential is undeveloped. So it needs to be cultivated like a garden. So we are not to relate to the world as park rangers whose job is not to change their space, but to preserve things as they are, nor are we to pave over the garden of the created world to make a parking lot. No, we are to be gardeners who take an active stance towards their charge, to rearrange the raw materials of the garden so that it produces food, flowers, and beauty. And that is the pattern for all work, whatever you are doing, however far away it looks like from gardening. It is creative and assertive, and it is rearranging the raw materials of God's creation in such a way that it helps the world in general and the people in particular to thrive and flourish. We are called to help the world thrive and flourish. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you decided to create us. That we were born in your thought. That you thought it very good that we were here on earth. And you delight in our daily relationships. You delight in our partnering of your kingdom work. And Lord, I thank you for all the giftings that are represented here in the room. Whatever they may be, wherever they are on this spectrum, Lord God, I pray that you would bless them abundantly. I pray that you would speak to them, Lord. Speak to them and lead them in your way, how you want to use them in whatever situation, whatever workplace they are in. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be a guiding light, Lord. I pray that you would give them revelation of what you are doing in their workspaces. Maybe some of us have been in working situations where it is dull and mundane and every day is the same. Lord, I pray that you would give us a refreshment of your Spirit to see our workplaces, to see the world, to see our homes, to see our schools, to see our roads, to see our nation differently. Because Lord, you have given us the power to see your kingdom. You have given us the authority and power to transform the world in view of what your kingdom looks like. Lord, I pray that as we go out today, that we would have revelation in our hearts, that you would renew our minds, that you would give us hope of eternity, and you would give us strength for each day, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.